four comments, and I think all of you know the policy. You're given 3 minutes. There'll be a beep, and you can wind up your thoughts, but bring it to a conclusion then. So with that, we'll start. I'll call you up two at a time. Kent Martin and Howard Wilson, please. And Kent, you can lead us off.
My name is Kent Martin. I'm a commercial fisherman from Detroit, Washington. I came away very disappointed at the scripted gillnet bashing from sports fishermen at the January meeting in Vancouver. Once again, I heard the gillnets aren't selective and kill most everything that comes near them. You have decades of data to the contrary with thousands of observed drifts. I can imagine just about everything we've encountered has been observed and recorded. Our selectivity is measured in terms of fishing at times and places and with gear that simply minimizes interactions with non-target stocks. Probably the best example of this is the Zone 4-5 fall Chinook fishery in August-September. The huge majority of steelhead swim through the large mesh Chinook nets, and the limiting Thule fall Chinook have largely turned off into the tributaries below our fishery. The October coho fishery occurs at times of peak hatchery abundance where mark rates are routinely between 85 and 90%. The live capture alternative gear technologies were marketed to the commercial fishery as a way to increase harvests on especially abundant hatchery stocks. Seines were to be used as an addition to gillnets, not as a replacement. It is interesting how that sales pitch morphed into you have to invest in these hugely expensive technologies to catch less fish because gillnets are not selective. Another distortion here is that live capture technologies are somehow thought to be more benign than gillnets is currently used. If recreational hook and line fisheries are really selective, then why do they need 70% of the ESA allowable fish kills to catch their fish? Perhaps more to the point, what do we know about adult pre-spawn hook and release mortalities in the mainstem Columbia? The answer is not very much. There was one study on Willamette Spring Chinook in 42-degree water over 20 years ago. The rest is literature review and guesstimate. The pre-spawn mortalities of live capture seine gears currently ranges from 21 to 38%. The big disconnect here then comes with the fiction that if you release salmon from a hook and line on the lower Columbia, the aggregate pre-spawn mortality is somehow lower than from a gillnet fishery that doesn't interact with the majority of the limiting stocks at all. The unexpectedly high seine mortalities in warm water conditions on the lower Columbia and the Canadian study published in the June 2015 papers of the American Fisheries Society, where pre-spawn hooking and handling mortalities of adult Fraser River sockeye amounted to 35% in 59-degree water, should raise red flags. The above should prompt a series of reevaluation of hooking and handling in the summer and fall, where water temperatures routinely reach 70 degrees. Current rates are 15 and 18%. You know a great deal about the gillnet fishery and remarkably little about the in-river sport fishery. These are mostly listed fish, and I think you should be giving serious consideration at what the scientists perhaps suggesting in warm water conditions. Last sentence. Under the current scenario, I would want to argue that actual mortalities of ESA-listed salmon are probably higher now than when impacts were evenly split with the commercial fishery because of what I think are dramatically underestimated recreational hooking mortalities in warm water.
Thank you, Ken.
Questions?
Thank you. Ken Miller, please, and Howard.
Your chairman,
I just like Kent. Kent, could you send us that link to the article? There was only one printed.
I gave you a copy of the article.
There's one that was.
Well, there was one. I'll ask Tammy to get it. Okay, great. Yeah, because I'd like to read it, and there's only one copy.
Howard.
Dear Chairman Smith and Commission members, I'm Howard Wilson, a small forest landowner with 400 acres of timberland
120 of which is a hot spot for bear damage. On February 11, 2016, I sent you a letter requesting help to reduce bear damage to my trees. I've served over 23 years in the Army, including 5 years in the Pentagon, and I understand that change and making decisions in a bureaucracy can be hard and slow. There are about 215,000 small forest landowners in Washington State. In 2015, only seven of us found bear damage significant enough to request depredation permits. However, for those of us with the bear damage, it can be unbearable. Using depredation permits, small forest landowners removed a total of 11 bears, about 0.04% of the state's bear population. Since I sent my letter on February 11th, 2016, much has happened. We met for over 2.5 hours on February 23rd, and many good decisions have been made. Those decisions help protect both the bears and our trees. However, it is still a work in progress. I want to thank you, Director Unsworth, Nate Pamplin, Mick Cope, and Stephanie Simak for the policy and procedure changes they have made to help small forest landowners to better protect our trees. Bear damage can wipe out a tree farm. Keeping that damage at acceptable levels helps ensure that our lands stay forested, providing excellent critter habitat and clean water. Thank you. I'd be happy to take any questions.
Thank you, Howard. Questions? Yes. Starting down.
Thank you for coming. I'm very encouraged to hear that. You know, I just joined the commission about a year ago, and your group has been here every time, and it's great to see that you've finally made progress and reached some resolutions on these things.
We certainly appreciate the help.
Thank you very much.
Thank you,
for coming.
Sir.
Yeah, I just want to echo that too. I've seen you come, both of you come, and testify before us numerous times, and I'm glad that we're finally doing something to help you out. I know this is a sticky issue, one that is difficult to solve, and thank you for hanging in there, and thank you for the compliment.
Thank you.
But not the analogy to the Pentagon. Yes, thank you, Howard. And Pete Granger and Ken, always a pleasure to see you, sir.
Thank you, Chairman Smith and Commission members. For the record, I'm Ken Miller, a small forest landowner with two small tracts of timberland, one of which has had severe and prolonged bear damage. I'm here, like Howard, to give a positive report on the resolution of some longstanding process issues with the bear depredation program. I started coming here in 2004. I don't expect to testify before the commission again. You'll have to take my picture if you want to see me again. This week, as Howard alluded, in a joint meeting between WDFW and both the large and small timberland owners, all but a few relatively minor issues were resolved collaboratively. We didn't get the ability to take any more damage-causing bears, but have streamlined the process in meaningful ways. More importantly, I believe there is a much clearer understanding of mutual needs and an eye towards continual improvement, hopefully eventually bringing better tools for a really tough issue. Although the process has been very arduous, particularly for small forest landowners with little patience for all this process, I believe there is now a greater understanding of the issues, not with just Olympia, but with the regional WDF staff also. Thanks to Nate for helping finalize some of the details. Thanks to Mick for keeping us on track and putting out the occasional fire. And thanks especially to Stephanie for holding up under the abuse she was surely getting from all sides. One caveat to this good news. Staff does acknowledge and seems to understand the disproportionate impacts of bear damage on smalls. While I'm hopeful I'm not yet convinced the department has internalized the damage significance or consequences on small forest landowners and ultimately on WDFW's habitat missions. For example, damage on 5,000 trees is a major problem for any forest landowner. It's catastrophic for a small forest landowner that might only have 10,000 trees, like myself. When we see our sweat equity and retirement, education, emergency fund being destroyed, we become desperate, impatient, and often angry with processes and people that feel more like obstacles than the help intended. One-size-fits-all processes doesn't always work, especially for those of us in known, verified hotspots of perennial damage trying to get a 50-year, once-in-a-lifetime crop established. Our lands are typically much closer to development, where we are often bombarded with pressures to sell for far more dollars than we can ever get growing timber. Knowing that a state agency like the WDFW wants us to stay on the landscape because of the public and critter benefits we provide and is willing and eager to have our backs in prompt and meaningful ways when we desperately need help is a necessary paradigm if we are to keep more forest land forested. I wasn't going to put a downer on this, but sadly, kind of at the last minute, the changes that looked like takeaways again, as it's shaken my confidence. I'm still pledged not to come back here, and I think we can work them out. At least I'm going to keep trying. So in conclusion, I think we have taken a small step in the direction of a more symbiotic relationship with the help of Nate, Mick, and Stephanie. Hopefully we can continue building on this success. Dealing with one issue like bears won't be enough incentive for my heirs to keep our forest land forested unless they feel respected, appreciated, and on the environmental pedestal all forest landowners deserve. I apologize to the Commission and WDFW for being such a pain in the ass for so many years. I'm very thankful, as Howard indicated, that you've always been receptive and understanding of our pleas. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ken. And I can, I think, speak for the Commission. In the scale of pain in the asses, you don't register.
Yeah.
But and we hope to see you in the future as well, but thank you for keeping our fingers to the fire. Yes.
Just want to add, too, besides, I would have said the same thing. You've been a gentleman. You've been articulate, well-prepared, given us good information, a pleasure to hear from. But I also think that was a particularly eloquent statement about the contributions made by forest land, even the small forest landowners. So my husband and I happen to be one, too, okay. And I couldn't agree more that we all ought to be on a pedestal because we're providing a service to the public. But thanks for that, too. Nicely said.
One of my grandsons still talks about coming here with Grandpa and getting his picture taken. So.
Any other?
Yeah, we'll miss you.
You can come for coffee anytime.
Yeah.
Pete, it's up to you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the Commission. My name is Pete Granger. I'm here representing the Whatcom Commercial Fishermen's Association today. It's a locally based group in Whatcom County of tribal and non-tribal fishermen representing all gear groups. I commercially fish in the summer and fall off Lummi Island in the commercial salmon reef net fishery, and I have a handout for you that describes that fishery. But today I'm here to report to you and acquaint you with a recent report that the Port of Bellingham conducted describing the economic impact of the commercial fishing and seafood processing sector to Whatcom County's economy. The report only includes commercial fishing, seafood processing, and related industries on port property in Blaine and Bellingham. I believe you have a copy of that report. I sent it to you last week. While Whatcom County's economy has diversified in recent years, the commercial fishing sector is a significant contributor to jobs and to income. We believe it's important for you commissioners, because you set the policy for commercial fisheries and management, that you know the importance of the commercial fishing sector to our counties and to the state as a whole. According to the Bellingham study, in 2013, 1,780 jobs, direct jobs, were created in this sector on the port property. And then in addition, another 1,035 indirect jobs were created. And this job totals comparable to the Cherry Point industrial area in Whatcom County, which has two oil refineries and an aluminum plant, and employs 2,200. Western Washington University comparably employs 1,500 folks. We are currently working with the Whatcom Waterfront Coalition to assess the number of jobs in the rest of the county, which is considerable as well, to add to these jobs that the port has. But it does remain a fact in Whatcom County, and I think in the state in general, that the decision makers and the public in general don't realize what an economic engine they have in their commercial fisheries industries. I believe that other studies should be done, especially in rural counties like Skagit, Clallam, Jefferson, Grace Harbor, and Pacific counties, to assess the value of their dynamic commercial fishing industries. Indeed, there was a statewide study connected a couple of years ago for the maritime sector as a whole, and I've got a one-sheet handout for you that describes that. Fishing was a major part of that, and maritime sector as a whole in the state was ranked third behind high-tech and aerospace as a contributor to the state's economy. So I'm grateful for the opportunity to present today, and I'd be glad to answer questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Pete. Any questions? Commissioner Keough.
Maybe not just a question, but a comment. Thank you very much, Pete, for coming. I know Pete and I were talking. There was some suggestion that he come and speak to my organization, the Purse Seine Vessel Owners, and I said, Pete, I think, you know, the audience that really needs to hear this is this audience. And I know this is a long way for you to come, but I greatly appreciate it. I think, you know, we often get the commission often tries to look at the economic contributions of recreational versus commercial. I think the important takeaway is that the commercial fishing industry is a important contributor. I mean, as is recreational. So I, you know, as I sit on this commission, that's going to be my message continually to my fellow commissioners. You know, rather than try to fight, okay, well, who's bigger, who's better, let's work together. Mm-hmm. Let's create more opportunities for everyone. And so, but anyway, I appreciate your
My wife and I are actually headed down to Astoria to the Fisher Poets Gathering, if you've ever heard of that. It's a fabulous gathering, so we're on our way through. Anyway, thanks.
Mr. Carpenter.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Pete, I think that's good. Good presentation. And as someone that grew up and spent pretty much his whole career in Skagit and Whatcom County and the Fairhaven District, and used to go on seine boats when I was 3 and 4, I think it's this whole scope of what you bring forward is very, very important, as Commissioner Keough articulated. But I think it's really more valuable if you can split out what the commercial fishing industry that travels to Alaska is versus the local. I think it has a whole different perspective that's not negative, it's positive, but I think we need to know that.
Well, we're looking at that with the study of the rest of the county, because those boats aren't moored at the Port of Bellingham, so they're not in their study. And we've estimated 440 fishermen and crew members in Whatcom County alone that go to Alaska and bring their income back to Whatcom County. Right. So. Yeah.
Great. Thank you very much.
You don't happen to have a used 25-horse long shaft, do you?
I'm sorry. That's out of order.
I know.
We'll handle that. We got to handle
I'll stop by. I need one for our work skiff.
I'd like to offer an observation, too. Last year I had the opportunity to go out with Pete on the reef net, And it was a fascinating experience, and I encourage my fellow commissioners for a learning experience to spend a day on the reef net to see what a highly selective fishery that is, and something that is now selling fish around the world through Patagonia. And that. I mean, it's just it's a story that really needs telling on a statewide basis because it's great. But thank you.
In deference to what the chair said, he would only go on a sunny day. If it was raining, he wouldn't go.
Or windy. Out of order.